All right, it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Amen. And I've been serving with Brother David Bentley at People's Baptist Church in Tucker for the last 14 and a half years at least. And we just had a great time just serving together. And Brother David is one of the top people that I know. He's a faithful man. When a lot of people would have quit a long time ago, Brother David just keeps going. And I think I was there for 14 years helping him just to be an encouragement to him along the way, because, I'm 75 years old now. I know I don't look like it, but, as we grow older, we realize that we can't do as much as we used to. And we have to be honest about that. And if we will be honest, then we'll be able to accomplish much more for Christ if we'll just let God use us the way we are instead of the way we used to be. And so I'm thankful for that. And I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles tonight to chapter 4 of the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is a book that gives us a defense of the ministry. The people in Corinth were tough. They were a tough crowd. They were saying that maybe Paul wasn't as good as what he said he was, you know. A lot of times you get a box of cereal and you think, well, this is going to be the best cereal I ever ate. And you take your first bite of it and it's just like cardboard. And you think, well, maybe it's not as good as they advertised. But you know what? Paul was as good as was advertised. And so he was the one that wrote this book. And he gives us, beginning in chapter 3 in verse number 16, he says, "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." Now, that's talking about the veil that's over their heart right now. They're not going to be able to understand the gospel. They're not going to see and understand and perceive those things that are given. But here's the thing. He says, "Nevertheless, when it, that is Israel, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." And so that we know is going to happen sometime close to the end of the tribulation, when they're given their final opportunity to believe, because they look up and they say, "Who is this that's coming?" And they look and they see him and they see the nail prints in his hands, and they know who he is. And so they will believe, and it may just be a remnant that believes. But God's been using remnants all during the times of history. He has given us remnants of those that will believe. Remember, Elijah was sitting under the juniper tree, and he was feeling sorry for himself. He says, "Oh Lord, take my life. I'm the only one that's left." You know, have you ever gotten the feeling like you were the only one that was the one that gave the gospel out, or you're the only one that did anything for God? And God says, "Don't worry, I've got 7,000 men that haven't bowed the knee to Baal, and you don't even know where they are." And so here we have this, and he tells us that when Moses is read, there's a veil is upon their heart. "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." And then he says, "Now that the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Have you been set at liberty? Have you been given your freedom? And see, that's what he's talking about. The Spirit of the Lord gives us freedom to do the work of God. So he says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And then he, in chapter 4 and verse number 1, he continues that thought on, because he uses the word therefore. Dr. Jack Green used to tell that when you get to the place where you see the word therefore, stop and see what it's there for. So when he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. He said, we don't give up. We don't just stop and quit. There's not a quit in them. There shouldn't be a quit in any Christian living in the day that we live. This is a time of excitement. The Lord is coming soon. And if we get, if we die before he comes, we'll be coming with him. It doesn't matter. But if we're still alive, we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And what a wonderful thing that is. I think that's when people will be glad that they went to Sunday night service and Wednesday night service. You know, I think that's when people will be glad that they went and they endured all this church, you know. And my stars, this is where God meets with his people. This is where we have the mercies of God shown to us. And I wish more people would take advantage of more church instead of less church. Verse number two, he says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Paul says, I've not done any of this. He said, I've not been crafty in all the things that I've done. I've not been one who was handling the word of God deceitfully. But he says, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If you have a good testimony, you better keep it, because it's very hard to get it back if you lose it. You must continue to strive for Christ every day of our lives, and then we can have a good testimony for him. And he says this, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. And he says, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In verse 3, he says, but if our gospel be hid. How many of us have a hidden gospel? I do a lot of times. I should say that I don't, but, you know, I wish I didn't. But that's just a fact of life. Sometimes you don't do as like you want to, like you should do. But he says, if our gospel be hid, where's it hid? It's not hid to those that are saved. It's hid to those that are lost. And you know, I drove past a lot of people, and I was driving really fast, because we looked at the clock, and it said 4:45, and I said, oh, my goodness. Their church starts at 5 o'clock, because, you know, at Peoples, I've been going down there 14 years, and they start at 6 o'clock. And my clock is still on the old time, you know. But thank the Lord that he woke me up soon enough, and we got here. But he tells us that if our gospel is hid, it's not hidden to the saved, it's hidden to the lost. Isn't it sad that our gospel would be hid? We don't understand very much about this verse until we get to another verse that's down here in just a minute. But he tells us here that if the gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And he says, in whom? Those are the ones that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Has God's light shined into your heart? I mean, that's where he wants it. He's aiming it right at you. And he wants us to give it out. So he says, for we preach not ourselves, But Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves, your servants, just a servant of the Lord. I remember seeing, we were fortunate enough to go to the premiere of a movie that Bob Jones University made. And the title of the movie was Sheffy. And boy, I tell you what, Sheffy would go up through the mountains and riding on his horse. I thought that'd be really neat to ride on a horse for that long. Then I got to thinking about it. Maybe it wouldn't be too neat. Amen. Not riding on a horse anyway. But he says, do we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord? And yours and what? And ourselves? We're just servants of Jesus. He says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's shined in our hearts to give this light to glorify not us, but God, to glorify Him in our lives. We must give Him glory because the treasure that we have, you say, what kind of treasure is this that is within us? Well, let me tell you about this treasure in verse number 7. But we have this treasure. Everybody likes a treasure, don't you? Because you know why? You think it's worth a lot. Yeah, but when we look at this passage of Scripture, he says we have this treasure. It's not if we could get this treasure, but it is we have this treasure. And this treasure is in an earthen vessel. How many remembers the place called Qumran? It's a place where they found a bunch of Dead Sea Scrolls. And where did they find them? They found them in clay pots. They'd been there for thousands of years, just sitting there. And people were going here and there, but they didn't find them until a little boy was playing and his ball rolled down in a hole or something. Anyway, seemed like that's a story. It sounded good to me, so I'm going to keep telling it. Amen. But he tells us that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And where did he get the vessels that he put this treasure in? I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Can you see it? I'm nothing but a... one thing, Brother Steve Sparks, I was on his staff for a while, and Brother Steve Sparks would use this term. He said, I'm just a dirt ball saved by grace. And that's about all we are. You say, well, where do you get that? Well, what did God make Adam out of? Red clay. Must have been from South Georgia, I reckon, you know, because even North Georgia's got good old red clay. Amen. But as we think about this, we have this treasure. It is a possession that we have right now. It's not something that we could have or might have or going to have sometime in the future. But it is a treasure. It is a treasure. And this treasure is kept in these earthen vessels. And I think that's a pretty good place to keep them. But this treasure that we're talking about, it's not silver and it's not gold. It's not precious jewels and things like that. It's just a simple gospel. The death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's all it is. It's a treasure that we have. But if it's kept within us, what good is it going to do? It's not going to do anything for the lost if we just keep it to ourselves. But if we'll just tell somebody, if we'll tell the next one we see, you know, we just say, hey, you know, I know somebody that can help you with all of your problems if you'll just give your heart to him. That'd be a wonderful thing if we could all just each one win one. And, you know, then we wouldn't have to say, well, I wish people would come to church on Sunday night. We might have more people come to church if they get what we got. And so what do we get? This treasure that's concealed within this earthen vessel. And, you know, it's so, and he couldn't display this treasure. Because if he did, I mean, what if it was a t-shirt and we just all just wear the t-shirt that says, I'm a treasure to Jesus. Now, that wouldn't really be a much help to them, because they wouldn't understand what the treasure was all about. And they wouldn't understand how important it is for them to believe in this Jesus that we believe in. So many people in the world today are skeptics. They're skeptical of everything and everyone. And if you try to tell them about Jesus, you say, well, what do you want from me? And I said, I don't want anything from you. I wanted to give you something. I wanted to give you something and let you have the same thing that I have. And so this treasure is in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, a lot of times people will go to church because they want to see the preacher preach. They don't necessarily want to hear him preach. He may be one of these animated people. And have you noticed it already? I'm not one of them. You know, I was told that there was two kinds of preachers. One's kind of like the boxer that floats all over the place, you know, and he's jabbing and jabbing and jabbing. And the others are like the guy that just stands there and slugs it out. That's the one. I'm him. You don't want to see me trying to do that dance thing. It doesn't work out. I feel the same way about it that Billy Sunday did. He said, a praying knee and a dancing foot don't belong on the same leg. Amen. And if he said it, then that must be okay. But notice that the power may be of God and not of us. The word power there is an interesting word, because it's the word dunamis. That's where we get our word dynamite from. Whew. So what is this? Have you ever, I've seen people do this. I haven't, mostly I did it, seen it on the YouTube things, but anyway, somebody trying to get a stump out of the ground, you know, and you've pulled on it with your truck, and you pulled on it with your car, and you've ripped the bumpers off of your cars. And can you do that anymore? I don't think we even have bumpers anymore. But anyway, we get all of these things, and we see these things, but the power is not of us. How many people can win somebody to Christ? Not one of us. The Holy Spirit can through us. It's God, though, that's doing it. It's not us. All we're doing is being obedient vessels. Earthen vessels, by the way. We're not special. We're not like the ones that come out of China that are 3,500 years old, you know, and they go on Antiques Roadshow and they say, oh, this is worth $42 million. And the people say, oh, I thought it was worth more. You know, they're you know, what? I don't know what they're thinking. But, but these things, and some people call them vases and some people call them vases, you know, whatever. I don't know which one is right, and I really don't care. But the thing is, the power, the force, the miraculous power, the superabundant power, superabundance of power. I mean, my goodness. You know, they've got bombs in the world that would blow up everything. And yet, no one's seen one blow up everything yet. And I'm hoping we don't ever see that. But if we do, it'll be because of the force. And that is the miraculous power. And it's a miracle. But notice that plays right into our idea of this being the gospel, because it tells us that it's the miraculous power. Salvation is not just something that happens to somebody when they believe. It's a miracle of God. It's a miracle of God when everyone gets saved. You know, when somebody gets saved in church or down on the or on the visitation or what, hey, there ought to be some shouting going on. Because what? This was a miracle this happened. This one who was going to hell is now going to heaven because of a simple childlike faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One simple word that somebody spoke, and you know, you speak a word at the right time, it can change a person's life. And this is what can happen to them. Art and Zoe, he tells us that not only did he say it was the power of God, but he said it was the excellency of the power of God. And that word excellency, it just means it's over and above, better than anything that ever been. He is more excellent than anything that we could think of or do. And that word treasure there, that comes from a Greek word that means that we get our English word thesaurus from. And when we look at that word, what does it tell us about? A deposit that is wealth, literally or figuratively, or a treasure. And that's what the treasure is that we have. Inside of these earthen vessels, we have this treasure right now. And God wants to get it out to everyone else. And that's what God would have us hear tonight and see tonight. Because it's not about what we do for God. It's really about what God does for us. And back over in the book of Romans, chapter number 1, he says in verse 15, Paul says this about himself. He says, "So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to them that are at Rome also." He was ready to go. He was ready to go, but he was waiting on orders from headquarters. He was not going to go if God wasn't in it. Because if you'll know, if God's not in it, then it's not going to come to anything. It's not going to become something that's going to be very successful. But when God is in it, and I can give you an illustration of that. The people of Israel were out in the desert at a place called Kadesh Barnea, and they were there because God was leading them into the land, into the promised land. They were going. I mean, it was a done deal. But they had to send out these 12 spies first. And I think that's where they deviated from the will of God. You say, well, shouldn't they have sent out the 10 spies? Or the 12 spies? No, they should have sent 2 spies out. The only ones that really should have gone were Caleb and Joshua. But the others that are there, they just did not know what they were doing. They really did not know what they were doing. And so he tells there in the verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, and he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And that's when we've given them that treasure that's inside of us. Give them the treasure. Give them the key that will unlock the door to heaven for them. And we will, you know, we need to have a lot of people doing the work because there's little time left. You know, when I was first called to preach was 1974. And in 1974, there was a lot of people going out and witnessing and going door to door and everything, you know. But now people are afraid to go door to door because they're afraid of what somebody's going to say to them. And I think the worst thing is nobody's ever at home. And but the idea that we're not to be ashamed of the gospel, we're to be proud of it and give it out. Why? Because it will change their life. It will change their life forever. But notice that he says that it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, there's some people that say, you know, that only certain people are going to be going to heaven. And they're only, you know, and only this people are going to heaven and these people are not going to heaven. And God knows who they are. And, you know, I think it's different than that. I think God wants everybody to go to heaven. And he's sorry when they don't want to go to heaven. And I believe that that's the difference between us and the Calvinist. And they really want to just to have a heaven that's filled with people like them. But, you know, I think heaven is going to be a better place if they're all filled with people like Jesus. Amen. Hey, little Jesus is running around everywhere. Don't you think that's wonderful? That's what heaven's going to be like. I mean, everybody's got a different idea of what heaven's going to look like. You know, and we're all wrong. And I don't know either. I don't know what heaven's going to look like. I don't even know how far off heaven is from us. It may not be far at all, because it's only one heartbeat away. I had a heart attack, so I kind of know what heartbeats are all about. You know, they're about everything for you. And if you don't have a heartbeat, you're dead. But notice what Paul is getting to them and saying is, to everyone that believes or that will believe. No matter what you do, there's going to be somebody that you're not going to be able to win to Jesus. But he doesn't tell us to give up on them. He tells us to keep telling them, and then they won't have an excuse why they didn't go to heaven. If, you know, if we tell them, and we tell them, and we tell them again and again. Brother David was telling me, Pastor David at the Peoples, he was telling me that... that he knew a lot of people that just wouldn't believe. And then one day he heard that they had died. You know, that's just a sad state right there. Judas kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. Some people say, well, he didn't go to hell. He went to a place of his own, and he may be there right now. But, you know, he tells us that the Jew is the first one to believe, and the Greek is the second one. Can we understand that God wants it that way? God wants it that way, the Greek first, the Jew first, and the Greek after that. And also, he says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's the third time in the Bible that verse is used, or that quotation is used. The first time is I believe it's in the book of Habakkuk. And he says, and the just shall live by faith, or by his faith. And notice that what he tells us here is an important thing for us to understand. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed when we see these things happening. But I want you to notice this, as we close out, that God is in the salvation business. He's in sales. He's we're the salesman. We're not in management, you know. I think that's what let's see, what was his name? I love it when that happens. The old timer thing comes in and, you know, there you go. It just flew away. God, thank you, Lord. I guess that's not one that we need to go on and belabor. But notice that he says this, that it is the power of God. It is the power of God. The power of God is what God wants us to distribute throughout the whole world. The power of God, the gospel. The gospel. The gospel is so real. It's so effective. And we just have to give it out. We're not in the business of having to save the souls. But we are in the business of giving out the message. You know, be like the guy just driving down the road and he sees a house on fire and he goes up and he knocks on the door and he says, sir, you know, the man's kicked back in his lazy boy. He's got his newspaper over his face and, you know, he says, sir, your house is on fire. You better get out. And the guy says, I'm not interested. Go away. No, he wouldn't say that. He'd say, the house is on fire. I better get out of here. But yeah, we go up to the door and knock on the door and we're just really nice. We're just telling people about Jesus and we want them to go to heaven. And if you'll just trust in Jesus, you can go to heaven. He said, I'm not interested. Slam the door in your face. You say, well, he didn't want to hear me. What do? You go to the next door. Somebody will hear you after a while. Somebody will listen to you. Don't take it personally when somebody slams their door in the face of God. Amen.